Let's pray tonight. Gracious God, our Father, we thank you afresh for the total sufficiency of Jesus Christ. God, we thank you tonight for life and life more abundantly. We thank you for joy unspeakable and full of glory. God, we thank you tonight for a peace that passeth all human understanding. And we thank you that someday there'll be no night there. And so God, now I've prepared, but I need your power. I've studied, but I need your spirit. And so Spirit of the living God, would you fall fresh again on this place? Would you work miracles in this place? Would you give us a word that we stand in need of on tonight? And perhaps the word I'm about to hear doesn't meet me where I am at this point in my life. I'll have the maturity to take it and store it, because a day is coming when I know I'll need it. God, we thank you for this church and her pastor. We pray, God, that every person in this building, in this sacred space we call sanctuary, would come to know you, whom to know is life eternal. We pray these things in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And the entire church said together, amen. Well, if you're glad to be in the house of the Lord tonight, would you say a hearty amen? I am glad to be here on tonight. Didn't we have a great night last night? The Lord blessed us and the Lord met us here, and I'm glad to be here again tonight. I am excited and thankful to your president, Pastor Kirk Thomas, for the invitation to come and share in this camp meeting that is taking place all across this territory. And then to have been, you know, I don't think you know this, I was supposed to go to preach at Holloway this week, but there were some things that took place at Holloway, and some people called me, said, we're disappointed you're not coming to Holloway, but I believe God knew I was meant to be in Watford Town. And the hospitality and the level of excellence with which this church operates is a testament that God, the God we serve, is an excellent God. Would you share a hearty amen for your wonderful pastor, my friend, Pastor Lawrence Johnson, and his wonderful wife, Sister Johnson. We thank God for you. And then allow me one more final comment. I see one of my best friends in the world here tonight, Jonathan and Joku, one of the greatest musicians that the North England Conference ever produced. He heard I was in town. He called me. He said, let's hang out. So we hung out a little bit today. And he said, I'm coming to church with you tonight before he goes home. He's a wonderful man of God out of the Huddersfield Church there in the Northland Conference. He's married to Pastor Steve Thomas and Sister Lurleen Thomas's daughter, Stephanie. And we thank God for your presence tonight, brother. We've been knowing each other since I've been 13 years old. And so we go way back. And the Lord is certainly blessing him. Let's get into the word tonight. One of the things you will learn about me is I strive to be a perfect balance of deeply theological but also deeply practical. And I think tonight there's a tremendous theological yet practical message that God would have us hear tonight. Matthew chapter 18. And I want to begin tonight at verse 15. Matthew chapter 18, beginning at verse 15. Here's what the Bible says tonight. Moreover, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he hears you, you have gained your brother. But if he will not hear you, take with you one or two more, that by the mouth of two or three witnesses every word may be established. And if he refuses to hear them, tell it to the church. But if he refuses even to hear the church, let him be to you like a heathen and a tax collector. Surely I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in the midst of them. Then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? And Jesus said unto him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. I want to anchor into that first verse 15. Moreover, if your brother or your sister sins against you, go and tell him or her their fault between you and them alone. I want to be a little provocative tonight, and I want to talk tonight on the subject matter, what to do when someone cheeses you off. Can you say that to your neighbor? Turn to the person next to you, say, neighbor. No, come on, talk to the person next to you, say, neighbor. I'm going to learn tonight what to do when someone cheeses me off. Come on, that was a practice run. Do it to the other person. Say, neighbor, I'm going to learn tonight what to do when someone cheeses me off. Amen. Have you ever been cheesed off before? Let me see the hands of y'all that have been cheesed off before. Okay, so someone put two hands up. We've all been infuriated, upset, annoyed. In fact, some folk went to bed mad and woke up mad. And some of you came to church mad. And my word to you tonight is smile a while and give your face a rest. The reality is that annoyances are inevitable. Being upset with other people is unavoidable. Being annoyed is part of living in a world in which two people cannot stand on the same piece of pavement at the same time. Pastor Chisholm, a world without annoying people would be a world without people. And you know, the crazy thing is that research has shown that annoying people don't actually realize that they're annoying. We usually don't know when we're being annoying, but we're always aware when people are annoying us. And if I'm honest with you, you don't know me well, and I don't know you well, but I think we're in a safe space tonight. Part of the problem with people who annoy you is that they will push you to your limit, and then they'll get mad when you react. The question is not, will someone upset me? The question for the conscientious Christian is, what am I going to do when someone upsets me? What am I going to say when someone upsets me? How am I going to behave when someone upsets me? And don't think for a minute that being cheesed off is limited to your workplace, your schoolhouse, your college, or your friend circle. No, you can be cheesed off and upset even in the house of the Lord. Because no one can make you mad like church folk. Every now and then, no matter how spiritual they are, no matter how much they love Jesus, no matter how often they come to Sabbath school, someone will do something that makes you mad. And so, in the context of this, Jesus is having this crucial conversation in Matthew 18 with his disciples because they've come to ask him, who is the greatest in the kingdom? They're arguing about positions. They're arguing about titles. They wanted to know who would be up and who would be down, who would be on the left, who would be on the right. They have unbridled ambition. But here in verse 2 of Matthew 18, Jesus introduces a new theology. And it is this theology that he will, Pastor Johnson, reiterate time after time. It is called the theology of humility. It was Jesus who said, wasn't it, that the first shall be last and the last shall be first. It was Jesus, who said that the greatest among you shall be servant of all. It was Jesus who said, humble yourself before the mighty hand of God, and in due season God will exalt you. It is the theology of humility which is the true pathway to greatness. Perhaps the biggest problem in our churches today is ego. Everyone shout ego. Ego is the cause of arrogance. Ego is the cause of selfishness. Ego is the cause of war, greed, and jealousy. Ego is the reason why we can't agree what color the carpet should be or what color the chairs should be. And Jesus' response to our overinflated ego is simple. Humble yourself before I have to humble you. Jesus is implying that part of your admittance to the eternal kingdom, it is in part contingent on your conversion to the humble faith and attitude of a child. And Jesus says, unless you are like a child and have childlike obedience, you will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. And so Jesus sets this framework of humility in which to place the picture of how to deal with people who cheese you off. Jesus is saying there's a process to dealing with people when they upset you. If a fellow believer hurts you, here's what you do. And let's be honest, this is one of the most difficult passages in the entire Bible. Not because it is difficult to understand, but because it's difficult to do. And the first step in the process after you've been annoyed by someone is to head in the right direction. Someone say right direction. When somebody cheeses you off, the Bible says, go and tell your brother or your sister who made you mad between you and them alone. Jesus is saying that your first step after the action of offense is going to the person. Don't let that thing fester in you to the point of it eating you up. Why should I go to the person, Dr. Grosvenor? I'm so glad you asked. I've got to go to the person because, one, the person may not even know they offended me. Two, they may not know how they offended me. Three, they may have read my action. I may have read their actions in the wrong way. Or four, I may have heard the story differently to how it really happened. Now, let me say this. Going to the person is not an invitation for you to point out everything you don't like about that person. So essentially, when someone has done something to you, based upon your Christian duty, you only have two options. Either you drop it under long suffering, or you go directly to the person. Now if you drop it, it does not mean you gossip to other people about it. It does not mean you hold on to bitterness. It does not mean that you retaliate and seek to do odd things to get even. You either drop it or you go to the person. And if we are going to be a mature disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, we have to stop being so passive aggressive. How easy is it for us to post our grievances on Facebook or on Instagram? How easy is it for us to write anonymous letters? How easy is it for us to bring up some negativity at the church board meeting about a certain person because we don't like how they treated us? How easy is it for us to be passive aggressive? But can I tell you something? Passive aggressive behavior is not the way of the cross. Jesus says when someone has wronged you, when someone has ticked you off, cool down, count to 10, do something, but go to the person not in anger, but in love. how you approach the person is important, because sometimes you can spoil the conversation before you have the conversation. You've got to approach them in the right way. And Jesus says in the B clause of verse 15, if your brother or sister hears you, you have gained your brother or your sister. Now, you've gained them in perhaps a couple of ways. Either the problem is being cleared up, whether they realize that you were right and they were wrong, or that they were wrong and you were right, or that you both were wrong, or that you both somehow were right. But here's another way you've gained them. You've gained their confidence in you because you didn't go here, there, and everywhere. You didn't go to Lottie, Dottie, and everybody, but you went directly to the person. And I contend tonight that most problems in our churches and in our families occur because step one is either done out of order or not done at all. Now, keep in mind, Jesus didn't say that your brother or your sister must agree with you and meet or immediately repent in your presence. At first, it is enough that they just hear from you. But this can only happen when you go in the right direction. Because when one Christian approaches another Christian in love, the privacy allows the individuals to be less defensive. And in many cases, it shuts down gossiping before it gets started. You've got to go in the right direction. But can I turn the diamond some more? Not only must you go in the right direction, but if you're going to deal with someone that cheeses you off, you must secondly make the appropriate invitation. Someone shout invitation. If the offender refuses to listen to you, the Bible says, take a couple of people with you. Now, this does not mean you go find the most contentious, gossiping, messiest, nosiest individual, church drama loving, cantankerous person you can find and go gang up on the person. No. Go find two spiritual, mature, and impartial individuals. And maybe after hearing both sides of the story, the four or the five of you can resolve the issue. And if you can't find two spiritual people in your church, you're in the wrong church. Do have a witness here. Now, many of us, we were raised to, you know, mind your own business and sweep around your own front door. But this text challenges us that the child of God, the mature child of God, should be willing to spiritually assist in settling so-called offenses. Isn't it funny that it's not hard to find two or three people when it's time to gossip. It's easy to find folk to tear down others. But are you willing to participate in the promotion of peace in God's church? And the goal of this process of going to the person with two or three others is not about proving who was right and who was wrong. The goal is unity and peace and ensuring that we are right and ready when Jesus comes. The text says, if the person refuses to listen even to that small group, then says, take this issue to a wider group. So you must firstly go in the right direction. You must make the appropriate invitation. But thirdly and finally tonight, you must always look for restoration. Someone shout restoration. Okay. I want to spend a couple of minutes here. The function of the church, verse 19 says, if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. The function of the church is not just to receive new believers. It is not just to baptize and make disciples. It is not just to preach, sing, serve, and do outreach. But a part of the the taxonomy of the work of the church is to help restore people who make mistakes. Part of the work of the church is to reconcile brothers and sisters together, because there's no mistake that is wider than the grace of God. Let me back up a little bit. Verse 17 says that if they refuse to hear them or hear the church, let them be as a heathen or a tax collector. Can I step on your toes for a little bit? When I was growing up at the Oldham Seventh-day Adventist Church, 130 Lord Street, Oldham, England, OL41AB, there was something that took place every now and then when someone made a mistake, and it was the D word. You all know what the D word is? Disfellowship is the D word. And as I read this verse, something dawned on me. You don't get, according to this verse, you don't get disfellowshipped for making a mistake. According to this verse, you don't get disfellowshipped for a disagreement. According to this verse, the biblical basis for disfellowship or excommunication is, in this text, that you refuse to take necessary steps to reconcile with your brother or your sister, because you have created discord by not promoting harmony. So don't come and tell me that a person's skirt is too short or their jeans are too tight. No, this is about not promoting unity by being so against creating harmony. Jesus is teaching that when you refuse to listen to somebody that feels you have cheesed them off, when you refuse to listen to godly people that they've sought to invite into the conversation, when you refuse to listen to the multitude of counselors in which there is safety, the church doesn't need to put you out, because you have put yourself out. You have removed yourself. You have disfellowshipped yourself. You have excommunicated yourself, because you have made yourself an island where no boat can reach. When I was going to school, Hume Grammar School for Boys, there was a Latin teacher that I had that would always say, "I don't give grades, you give grades. I just give you what you ask for through your work." Perhaps this is what Jesus is saying here, that if unity and peace is the goal, but someone is content week after week, comfortable in division and strife, then they are asking not to be a part of Watford Town Seventh-day Adventist Church. Do I have a witness here? Give them what they ask for. And so all of these situations we think that make people fit for church leadership, God is saying, I don't care about that. I care about people who do what I did, try to reconcile with one another. The church ought to be a reflection of God. So when someone cheeses you off, you don't go around the church trying to eviscerate them. Don't attack them. Don't go around the church trying to get sympathy from people who have no idea about the situation. You go to the person. Because Paul, when you go to the person who cheesed you off in the right spirit and the right manner, you are going with God. But when you go gossiping and spreading rumors, whether they're true or not, you are going with the devil. So verse 20 says, "For where two or three gather in my name, there I am with them." Now, please, I grew up hearing this. Please, stop saying that verse when the numbers are low at prayer meeting. Well, we're small in number, but where two or three are gathered. It sounds good, but that's not what Jesus is trying to say. Here, when Jesus says, "Where two or three are gathered in my name, I'm there in the midst of them," Jesus is saying that when members come together after someone made you mad, and you get in a room and you purpose in your heart that the devil will not get in this room, in this conversation, when we gather not out of anger, not out of contention, but we gather in the name of the Lord, God is right there in the midst of us. So Peter, upon hearing this, he says, well, how many times should I forgive my sister or my brother? 7 times? And Jesus says, no, 70 times 7. According to math, that's 490 times. And so this concept of forgiveness, it's a difficult concept because forgiveness does not mean approving of what someone did. Forgiveness does not mean pretending that the evil never took place. Forgiveness does not mean making excuses for other people's bad behavior. Forgiveness does not mean letting other people walk all over you. Forgiveness does not mean pretending you were never hurt. Forgiveness does not mean that you must become best friends again. No, forgiveness means that I took it to the Lord, I took it to the altar, and I left it right there. So people will try to tear you up and cut you down, they'll lie on you, they'll criticize you. But I think it's important to understand that it takes God to do what we humanly cannot do. I'll never forget, there was something someone did to me. They shared something that was not true. Someone I'd been kind to. Someone I'd invited to certain spaces. Someone who came out to eat and I paid the bill. And this person had the nerve and the unmitigated gall to fabricate and spread something about me. And I know you don't know me well, but my friends will tell you I'm a real nice guy. I'm agreeable until the moment I'm not. And the moment I'm not, you're going to see a switch. Do I have any folk that know what I'm talking about? And I was planning to go in there and cuss him out real nicely. I was planning to tell him about his dirty, stinking self. In fact, I practiced what I was going to say. I practiced my demeanor. I said, I'm not going to be nice guy, but can I tell you something? When I got in that room, the Holy Ghost took over and carnal went out the door and the Holy Ghost took over my anger. Do I have a witness here? I got in that room, I said, my brother, I don't know what made you do what you did, and you don't have to explain to me, you don't have to defend yourself to me, but I want you to know that I know what you said, and because of the love of Christ that constrains me, I forgive you in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says, pursue peace and holiness. Come on, let me say it again. Pursue peace and holiness, because without peace and holiness, you will never see the Lord. So when you are being led to respond negatively, you have to change direction. And the only way you can change direction is letting the Lord lead you away from a place of a carnal response into the place of the response of the cross. All the way my Savior leads me, what have I to ask beside? Can I doubt his tender mercy, who through my life has been my guide? Heavenly peace and divinest comfort here by faith in him to dwell, for I know whate'er befall me, Jesus doeth not some things, but all things well. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. Let's stand together as we pray. God, we thank you tonight that you have given us the blueprint of how to handle folk who cheese us off. It's a difficult word to hear, and it's a difficult thing to do. But with the help of God, we can. And with the help of God, we will. God, we want you to guide us, not just in the good days, but guide us in the bad days. Guide us when we feel like cursing someone out. Guide us when we feel like putting our hands on someone. Guide us when we feel like putting our religion aside and acting real carnally. In Jesus' name we pray. And all God's people said together, amen. Come on, all the way my Savior leads me. All the way my Savior leads me. What have I to ask beside? Can I doubt his tender mercy? Who through life has been my guide? Heavenly peace, divinest comfort. Here by faith in him to dwell. Oh, for I know whate'er befall me, Jesus doeth all things well. For I know whate'er befall me, Jesus doeth all. Here's my favorite verse, verse number 2. All the way. Cheers each winding path I tread.
Gives me grace for every trial. Feeds me with the living bread. Oh, my weary steps may falter, and my soul a thirst may be. Gushing from the rock before me, low a spring of joy I see. Gushing from the rock before me, low a spring of joy I see. All the way my Savior leads me. Oh, the fullness of his love, precious to me is promised in my Father's house above. When I wait to life immortal and there's light to realms of day, this my song through endless ages, Jesus led me all the way. This my song through endless ages, Jesus led me all the way.